God. Oops, that's a little embarrassing.
There we go. That's okay.
It seems to me that the highway sign I'll be showing you this morning is not posted as frequently as some of the others which we have considered in the course of this semester. But the lack of frequency doesn't mean that it is difficult to understand. Even some of the youngest passengers in a car would very likely quickly figure out what the symbolism is intending to communicate. Here it is. Ah, there's some food just up ahead. Now, the nature or the quality of the food that is identified here is not revealed by the simple symbol. This could refer to anything from sandwiches in a vending machine to a gourmet restaurant. But with regard to the group assembled here today, it can be said that the type of food just up ahead is very, very fine. Food that will be formally eaten in a very special place. I'm speaking, of course, about the upcoming banquet, but not chiefly about the banquet that is scheduled for tomorrow evening. Rather, the banquet which is the heavenly version set to begin at any moment. In the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, this was part of the vision given to the Apostle John. I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the banquet of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. Although the dinner tomorrow evening and the heavenly feast at the end of time are both called banquets, they are, of course, very different in a number of ways. But first, a similarity. For one thing, they both involve invitations. As you know, ILC's banquet committee sent out invitations through which they invited every person on campus to attend the event. And so it is with the heavenly banquet at the end of time. Jesus has invited every member of the human race not only to join in the eternal festivities, but to go as his companion. For his companionship is necessary just to get in. At ILC's banquet, everyone has the option of attending individually or with someone else. Either way is fine. But it's only through a connection with Jesus that one can gain entry into the dinner in paradise. A connection to which he invites all. Come to me, all you, he says. Jesus invites every single person to his special event, that heavenly feast. Sad that so many refuse, but that's the natural response of sin-darkened hearts. When it comes to the natural condition of the human mind and spirit, RSVP might stand for resisting salvation very persistently. Scripture reveals that there is none that understands, there is none that seeks God. There is a strong negative reaction to this invitation that comes from God, even though he only promises the very, very best. Man by nature wants to be free of associations with Jesus, failing to recognize that such freedom actually means the greatest form of bondage. The heavenly banquet is unique also with respect to the matter of optional alternatives. For those at Emmanuel who choose not to attend the annual event, life goes on, other activities may very well fit their Saturday evening schedules. But not so with the banquet of God's Son. Those who do not appear at the heavenly event in the company of Christ will be cast off and imprisoned. It will be something like being eternally dormed over only much, much worse. It will mean being eternally doomed. Jesus spoke of those not in his heavenly hall as those who are cast out into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Fortunately, therefore, the Lord does much more than just invite to his banquet. He enables acceptance. The text speaks of those who are present as those who are called, who are given faith by the power of the Spirit. Blessed are they who are called to the banquet of the Lamb. And that's the same word used by the Apostle Paul when he speaks of those whom God did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. The Lord is able to change that natural resistance to him and enable one to come to welcome his invitation. Spirit-produced faith joyfully responds and looks forward to feasting with him in paradise. As for the way in which the Lord feels about those whom he will gather together in that festal hall, that is conveyed in an interesting way by our text. It speaks of all believers collectively and refers to the church as being the bride of Christ. It states, his wife has made herself ready, and then likens the heavenly banquet to a wedding feast. Whereas the relationship between a guy and a gal here at school going to banquet might be nothing more than a casual friendship, Jesus feels much more for his companion, the church. The love he has is that of a perfect bridegroom, perfectly loving his bride, and how that love shows. He goes far beyond a corsage or a boutonniere when it comes to adornment for his chosen. For to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Jesus does require that every little detail be absolutely perfect at his feast. And so, he provides us with the ultimate in spiritual apparel, perfect righteousness, purchased not with silver or gold, but with that precious blood of his Son, Jesus. He, the heavenly bridegroom, offers his heavenly banquet free of charge, having paid our spiritual debt in full, and he has opened the door to eternal joy. Enjoyment, after all, is one of the main objectives. Just as ILC's banquet is designed to produce a good time, the Lord has designed his event for an extraordinary eternity. Far from the world's misguided perception and projection of heavenly life as being a humdrum existence up in the clouds, it will provide a joy unimaginable to us now. Blessed, that is, happy, are those who are called to the marriage banquet of the Lamb. Those called will have the very greatest of times. The bud of faith's joy in this life will blossom into unparalleled bliss. All irritation will be gone, sadness will cease, joy and laughter will abound within that realm of peace. As for the menu, that's kind of hard to say. We aren't told too much about our future dietary needs or supplies. Jesus did tell his disciples on Maundy Thursday, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. It does seem safe to assert at the very least that the various blessings of nature that we enjoy now will be enjoyed in even greater abundance and fullness. Of the many things which ILC's banquet and any festival gathering may be, perhaps the most useful, therefore, is to view it as an anticipatory morsel of the marriage feast of the Lamb, which is just up ahead. At any moment, he will initiate the eternal banquet for those who put their confidence in Christ. May the Spirit, therefore, sustain saving faith, that we too may eat of that eternal manna and drink from the river of his pleasure forevermore. A hymn which speaks of the glorious state of Christ's people is 676. This morning we'll be using stanza 2. 676, stanza 2.